Shalom, I'm David Yehudistan, and welcome to Progressively Jewish, a podcast where we explore Judaism through a progressive lens. This episode coincides with the new month of Sivan, which began at the start of last week. Sivan is also the month in which we celebrate Shavuot, a festival traditionally marking the start of the wheat harvest, and on which we also celebrate Zman Matan Torateinu, the season of the giving of our Torah. Our festival, which centers around moments of transition, has coincided with a moment of personal growth and evolution. I have been studying at Liebeck College for 5 years, and in less than 3 weeks, I am to be ordained as rabbi. The run-up to this event has been a time of contemplation and consideration for me. It has led me to reflect on other transformative moments in my life that have led me to this juncture. Therefore, on this episode, I have invited three colleagues, teachers, and friends to share moments from their lives that they found transformative. First up, I spoke with Rabbi Shulamit Ambalu of Shaarei Tzedek Synagogue. Rabbi Shulamit was my teacher at Liebeck, and I spent part of my final year of study on placement at her synagogue. We had begun talking about a moment from my own life, my first year immersed in a yeshiva, a Jewish seminary, and how, at the end of that year, I embraced my Hebrew name.
So I'm interested, David Yehuda, that you've talked about one that was probably a transformation that took a while you were at Yeshiva Yehada, and then you had a moment when you decided to go through this decision for embracing your original name. But both of my experiences were both very, I'm going to sneak two in here, were very momentary. And one was momentary in a joyful and confusing way. And the second one was an experience of profound loss. So the joyful one was the moment when I was 26 years old, and I walked into a Reform synagogue for the first time in my life. And I saw in front of me a woman leading the service in Talit. And I still remember the profound discombobulation, almost impossibility of processing what I thought was something that was, it's even beyond language actually for me as someone who grew up in a conventional Orthodox community, both in the United Synagogue and in the Sephardi world, to see this moment and to feel, I still feel when I wind back my own memory, I still feel the confusion and the excitement of that moment. And it enables me to identify that in others because I understand what that feels like. And there is this moment, I think, with Kabbalat Torah, with receiving Torah, when the Torah that we see in the world undoes everything that we knew before about ourselves. And that was, in a sense, a very joyful one. And this went on to be a rabbi who had a profound influence in my life, Rabbi Sheila Shulman, who, of blessed memory, Zichron al-Vracha, who taught me so much and whose relationship with me led me to this pathway that I'm having this conversation with you today. My other moment of transformation was when I was indeed a rabbinic student at Liebeck College. I was sitting in the library, a very beloved place, on my own, one quiet day, midweek, reading through something from the Book of Esther. And I had just been in a class where I'd learned from my teacher the very shocking, probably real truth that the story of Esther wasn't historically true. And this catapulted me into, it's hard for me to share. It sounds ridiculous when I share it with you now, but for me, this was profound crisis. What did it mean that it wasn't true? I'd always assumed that this was an actual historical event. I'd been brought up in that way. But more importantly than that, I had an upbringing, I'd had a life which wasn't so straightforward. It was pretty turbulent. I had a family where there were a lot of tensions. And for me, to be honest with you, Judaism was the source of stability It was the source of certainty. It was comfort. I went to a wonderful Jewish primary school, which gave me this feeling of holding and continuity, where I always had that structure and that framework. And I've always knew the Jewish world as a source of ethics and values. I had the influence of wonderful rabbis who I relied on and I loved and I looked at as these sort of real exemplars of ethical people. And there I was sitting and absorbing the reality that this particular book of Torah was not true. And that was, it's hard to express how that undid me. And I felt as though inside myself, everything that I held as a kind of structure in my mind and my heart was undone in that moment. Because once that part was untrue, it raised questions about what else wasn't true. And that was really traumatic. That was an undoing of what I had been before. And I guess what I came to learn is that in these experiences of great learning and change, there is an undoing and there is trauma and loss involved. What I later, of course, came to build in its place of certainty was the knowledge of deep truth. So for example, now we're in the book of Numbers where we are suffering as we set out on this wilderness journey of 40 years and where everyone that we set out with, bar a couple of people, are never going to make it to the other side. Where there is going to be loss, there's going to be death, there's going to be rebellion, there's going to be complaining. And the truth that I find there is so much more profound than the truth that I was raised up with. I identified so deeply with Moshe, who is on this journey and who knows that there is a destination and a goal, but doesn't have the material certainty of how he's going to arrive, and who has to deal all the time with the conflict and with the upset of the people on that journey, who says, how am I going to carry this? Like a nursemaid carrying this child through the wilderness? I find such truth in that. I find such truth in the idea of a God that guards us from the scorpions at our feet or the heat of the sun. I find truth in the expression that you used before. This is the time Matan Torah, but Matan Torah is a one-off moment. Receiving Torah is an ongoing, endless interaction with the one who creates the world and which we find every day. So I find the truth that I've been able to discover through that doorway far more profoundly enriching and a source of real integrity, more than the truth that I knew before. But it really was that I look back at that moment in the library and I look back at, you know, this young woman who was utterly confused and felt pain, like my heart felt sore when I had to understand that perhaps all the truths that I'd grown up with weren't going to stand up in the light of the education that I was lucky enough to have to become a progressive rabbi.
Having grown up in an Orthodox Jewish community with an Orthodox framing of Jewish practice and religious texts, I related to much of what Rabbi Shulamit had described. In particular, her shock realization that the Tanakh, the Jewish Bible, is not a precise historical record. Indeed, our conversation made me realize that transformative moments involve a certain type of ongoing loss, which then requires us to rebuild and rediscover certainty. Next, I spoke to Rabbi Dr. Tully Artman Partok, who was my teacher at Leo Beck before going on to become a fellow rabbinical student. Rabbi Tully is now rabbi at Sukkot Shalom Reform Synagogue. And like Rabbi Shulamit, a transformative moment in Rabbi Tully's life connects to the way she was raised to read biblical texts.
I think my transformative moment is a bit of the opposite of your transformative moment. Because I didn't grow up Orthodox at all. I grew up quite the opposite of that. And I think the Orthodox, the ultra-Orthodox and the secular share something, which is a rather unnuanced understanding of religion. I know that I've said something terrible and I retract in a minute and claim that I've never said it. But let me explain why, and then maybe it would sound a bit less, well, you choose your adjective for what I just said. So I think growing up secular, my assumption about all religious texts were that you're supposed to believe them, that you're supposed to relate to them as if they were true. And I think in that respect, the secular and the Orthodox share some ground that maybe they don't think that they do. And I remember in my second year at university, when I had to, because it was the Hebrew university, and if you wanted to study Hebrew literature, you had to study rabbinic literature as well. And we were sitting there in a class about Midrash, and I remember my hands shaking because I was angry and frustrated. And I didn't understand how anybody in their right mind, you know, believed this. What was I expected to do with this? And why are serious people taking this seriously? It was really frustrating. And I hated it profoundly, which, as we all know, is already an erotic attachment that will transform into love later, right? Because that's how life works. And in one of those classes, my teacher at the time in Baraveh, she brought us this midrash, this really, really beautiful story about these two sons of Tzadok HaKohen. And another professor of mine at the time, Professor Galit Chazan Rokem, has also written an article about it. And I started reading the story, which is a tragedy about a brother and a sister who can no longer identify one another because they've been taken captive and were pulled apart. And the moment when they realize who they are is the moment when they're also realizing they're expected to produce children together. And they choose or not choose. What happens is that they die. And the moment when it turned into literature, the moment that I could see beauty, the moment that I could understand those ancient souls with my modern eyes and feeling, was a moment that opened up a whole new world for me. I didn't have to believe that it actually happened. It doesn't really matter if any of those people ever lived. And actually, through making the rabbinic texts, through making rabbinic literature fiction, I found my way through it. I could believe a truth in it that was emotional and intellectual, not religious. And through it, I had a share. I had a part in this Jewish tradition, which I claim. So I don't know. I think we do meet somewhere halfway, don't we?
And how has that moment of transformation continued to affect you?
I think there are two ways in which this initial relationship was transformed over time. One is through the fact that I myself have changed. So the things that I see in the texts and the things that I find interest in are radically different than those that I was interested in 20 years ago. And I've learned to use rabbinic literature as tools for my own thinking and sometimes for my own emotional work. So now if I read a text about the name of the Messiah, for example, what interests me in it is the psychological idea that each one of us is redeemed from our own problems and issues. And because my problems are not your problems and my issues are not your issues, we need a different redeemer or a different Messiah. So I don't know if that's something that's coming from the text or coming from me, but I love this text because of this world, because whatever I bring to it, I find something in it for me. And that has changed. And I think by deciding to cross the lines from academia into the rabbinate, I realized that in some way I am now expected to represent these texts in a way that I wasn't supposed to before. And I've learned to live, I think, much more easily with the parts of the texts that are horrible, because there are horrible parts of the Talmud, terrible, that I find morally, emotionally, intellectually repulsive. But it's like members of your family. There are the ones that you like and you know that are great. And there is like the uncle with the long arms that you don't want to meet ever. Do you love him? Probably not. Is he part of your background? Unfortunately, yes. So I learned to tolerate the dark parts, because not because I tolerate them inwardly or I condone them, but because I understand that they are a part of the history, and not everything is, you know, flowers and butterflies. I think the more that we have a framework for something in our head, a conceptual framework for anything in our head, the easier it is for us to identify it before. So if someone tells me, you know what, the next time that you feel you might be going through something, notice what happens to your mood. Are you becoming happier? Are you becoming sad? Are you becoming edgy? Then I will just think about thinking, and that would already give me a way forward. So I don't think there is a trick besides awareness and besides just remembering to ask yourself the questions. This is the basis, I think, of any reflection in this world.
I appreciated hearing how Rabbi Tully balances both the destructive and constructive aspects of transformation, developing one's ability to pause and better recognize the actual process of change is valuable and can help us through such moments. My final conversation was with fellow student Rabbi Shulamit Morris Evans. Shulamit is just coming to the end of her first year at Leo Beck College, a time that I remember vividly as a transformative moment in of itself.
I feel like I sort of have to pick my first Extinction Rebellion protest. This took place at the end of October in 2018. It was the official launch of Extinction Rebellion, or XR, the so-called Declaration of Rebellion. And in a way, it was through luck that I was able to be there, because I was teaching at the time in Pimlico, so round the corner from the Houses of Parliament. And I had this one day a week where I was doing curriculum writing, so not actual teaching, which meant that I could kind of nip out on my lunch break and attend this protest. And making that kind of effort to go on my own, to go to this protest for this organization that I didn't really know anything about at that point, because it was kind of new and launching, I think obviously that contributes, I think, to the transformative potential of an event, because you're entering a space, I think, in a slightly heightened state of consciousness or open-mindedness, maybe. And what was really striking, I think, about that environment on that day was the sense of sort of spiritual engagement that you felt, that this protest was full of people bringing religious traditions or songs or ways of engaging that were quite kind of, the sharing of religious traditions particularly increased. And I remember a young Muslim woman getting up and sharing. I remember a member of some kind of Christian order getting up and sharing. And of course, I felt very aware that Judaism hadn't yet been represented, and it was a relatively small gathering at this point, and small enough for me to get close to the chair that people were standing on, and to ask the person who was organizing, holding the space, if I could share a Jewish song. And so I was able to take a stand on that chair and share, I believe it was, Od Yavo Shalom Aleinu. And I think that moment of asserting my sense of presence in that space and of obligation in the environmental cause as a Jewish impulse in myself was really important and has driven and conditioned a lot of my decisions and perspectives on the world and on my Judaism since then. So I think that that's the scene that I would go back to as a transformative moment, standing in the road in the sun outside the Houses of Parliament in an attempt to rebel for life.
Shulamit's story reminds me that transformative moments are often unplanned, sometimes being born out of chance, circumstances outside of our control. That brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you to my guests and also to Liberal Judaism, Reform Judaism and Leah Beck College for supporting Progressively Jewish. Don't forget to subscribe to the Progressively Jewish podcast and to leave us a positive comment or review with your podcast provider. We hope that you will recommend us to your friends and fellow congregants, those who are Jewish and people of all faiths and none. To share your ideas on the future of this podcast, either comment on the Progressively Jewish Facebook page or email us at progressivelyjewish@gmail.com. In next month's episode, for the month of Tammuz, we will be reflecting on fertility and infertility.